What's up, everyone? Welcome to Visionaries, where we believe your powerful message is the best way to grow your business, impact the world, and live a meaningful life. Today, we have a special guest, and his name, here we go, is Chris Creed.
Hey, what's up,
Chris? How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Hey, it's good to see you. I'm so excited to have you on. As mentioned in the title, we are going to talk about virtual events today. What attracted you to this idea of helping people build and launch profitable virtual events?
Dude, it's actually a kind of a crazy story, and it does involve COVID a little bit. But let me go back to the beginning here a little bit. I was I was always in events. Like, I was always in theater, and I was a trumpet major and a vocal major in college. So I was always in that world. And, you know, always performing on stage. And then, you know, when I graduated college, my wife and I started a photography business, and we did that for over a decade. So we got to be a part of producing events and on the back end of over hundreds of events. And then, you know, I actually started running my own, like, in-person creative retreat for creative entrepreneurs. We would go out in the woods and go camping and drink bourbon. It was so much fun. And so I had some experience actually putting on live events. And then I just became like a live event addict. I was going, you know, all over the place to all kinds of different events. I just love the way they feel, right? And but that actually, it led me to be in digital marketing. That's another story. But like, I got into digital marketing, and I landed my first big client, and it was a theater company, and I was doing work for them and helping them sell out shows. And what I like, the stuff we were working on was just really fun, and it worked. And that was one of the things they asked me to do. So I was helping them do that. And then I started getting other clients for funnel building, for, you know, helping artists sell out their shows and things like that, and all kinds of stuff. Everything was going well. And then all of a sudden, one of my biggest clients says, "Chris, we're going to have to go another direction because you're our biggest line item on the budget. That's not aside from the rent of the building." And I was like, holy crap, I didn't know that. I felt terrible, but like, that was true. But like, just like that, though, I had lost my a $40,000 a year client. And I didn't know at the time what had happened, but I started to feel like this like doubt started to creep in. You know what I mean? Of like, you're not good enough. You don't know enough. You're not smart enough. Those kind of things. I don't know if anybody's ever felt that before, but it happened. Right.
But no one feels that sense of insecurity whatsoever. Yeah.
Right. And so I was feeling those things, and I was feeling kind of down, and I was honestly feeling a little scared, even though I felt like in my mind, I was like, no big deal. I'll just go get another client. Right. But something was kind of breaking in me. And that's when I got a message from my friend, Stephanie Blake, who we know. She was like, "Hey, I got this ticket to this event. And if you want to go, I know they're sold out right now, but if you wanted to go, that event was Funnel Hacking Live." And I didn't want to invest. They raised the price of tickets at the end to like $1,200. And I was like, I just lost this $40,000. I can't do that right now. And so it just didn't make sense. And again, I was looping those stories, right, which is causing that. So anyway, I ended up taking her up on that. I go, and I'm sitting in towards the back, right behind a screen. And Russell Brunson is on stage, and he's talking about the hero's journey, right? And he's talking about how, like, in every good story, the hero has these things. And something he said in that moment kind of like triggered something for me. He said, there's a hero in these big stories like Star Wars and like Lord of the Rings and stuff. There's the big epic stories. There's a point where the hero is called to a destiny that they don't quite understand. And for some reason, I just start, like, tears start well out of my eyes, and I close my eyes and I open my eyes, and I saw Russell on stage talking to 4,000 people. Right. And then I saw the impact that he was having on them. And then I saw those 4,000 people in their chairs talking to their people on their stages. And I was like, holy crap. Like, I saw the exponential impact that was happening right in front of me. And I knew right then that I would spend my life helping the people who help people and helping them build their virtual stage so that they can stand up and impact people in a really massive way. And honestly, at that point, I was thinking, okay, cool. I'll help people take their content and turn it into a live event. And then COVID happened and live events stopped happening, right? And so Now what I do is I help people take their content, put it into a virtual event that will sell by creating killer offers and creating events that people actually want to go to. Because the truth is, people don't do things that they don't want to do, and most virtual events suck. So that's what I help people do now. Yeah, man. That's a long roundabout story to like feel like that's how it happened.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it was long at all, and I think it's powerful too. It shows that like many of us, we experience a moment of like a catalyst, right? It's a turning point for us to recognize, oh my gosh, like I can go this direction or I can go this direction. I can pivot. And that, you know, even if we feel like we have failed or, you know, for you, you lost this client. It was like, you're going like the timing for Stephanie to reach out and for Russell to deliver that message was relevant to you. And it showed the power of what he was living, right? He was living that in-person event, but that event experience and what kind of impact it can have. So why not, especially now, you know, when people want to be virtual, feel safe being virtual, is bringing the virtual experience to them. And I think I would completely agree that there can be near as much impact, if not more, sometimes virtually. Because you can connect with people who may not even show up to a live event.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I so something you said there made me reminded me of like what I feel like. So the concept of an inciting incident in a story, right, is where the character it hits this point. Like it's when Frodo puts on the ring and like things go nuts and like he realizes that it's his job to take the ring to Mordor and like throw it in the volcano, right? Nobody else can do it. He's called to that destiny. That's the inciting incident, right? So when she emailed, like events give that to people naturally because they bring people, they gather people, like-minded people together, and they inspire them naturally. And we kind of joke about inspiration being like nothing, right? But it's actually important because it means that like to inspire means to breathe out. So like you breathe in and I don't know, it means to breathe in. So you breathe in inspiration and you breathe out creativity, breathe out the natural expression from inspiration is to create something, right? And so events give that to people, just like you said, they become the inciting incident. So when you're thinking about that, about if is this going to be, you know, something that's going to help people, well, is it going to gather them? Is it going to inspire them? Is it going to change them and cause them to take action on something? Then yeah, that's going to make a big, huge impact on a lot of people. And yeah, like you said, it can be an infinite amount of people, you know?
Yeah. How would you, bump my mic. How would you say your experience with theater contributed to your unique approach and perspective to doing virtual events?
Yeah, man. Well, you know, being in that world for sure, like it, or in the performance world and in that side, like, you know, you get to see the passion that people bring to the stage, right? And you get to see the excitement and the delivery that people bring to that. And so I try to help coach people through that of like how we're going to come on. And like, have you ever seen the movie The Greatest Showman?
Oh, who hasn't? It's so good.
Yeah. So good, right? And so that whole idea of like P.T. Barnum-esque stuff, like of like coming on and like just expressing yourself and like being like on a stage. I think sometimes we can get caught up of like, you know, we all have Zoom fatigue. We're all on Zoom meetings all day now. So it's like we're used to just getting on here and like staring at the camera, but like you can actually bring something to it. It takes a little bit of work, but you can do it. So I think that's a part of it. And then having worked with theaters to help sell out shows, it's kind of a unique perspective that I got from that, because one of the client that I originally worked together to build the system that I teach is that it's they were a brand new theater. So like that, how do you get people to come to a brand new theater in the middle of nowhere, Tennessee, who that is literally just being built? It's not even built yet. How do you market a show for that? And it was like half children's theater, half professional, right? So like there's all these elements to it. So what I did essentially was kind of, I call it demand hacking, where, you know, things normally sell out because people know who's going to be there. They know the artist, they know the show, they know who's playing or whatever. But if you don't have any of that, how do you do it? Well, that's kind of what I developed through that, was how to hack that demand and get people excited, even though it was something they didn't even know existed, right? Like it was brand new. So
yeah, you know, and I love that concept too. And And as soon as you mentioned Greatest Showman, my mind got like locked on that concept, right? If we think of the movie, and the way that P.T. Barnum, at least in the context of this movie, obviously it's not 100% historically accurate, but let's stick to the story of the movie that we can understand, right? Where what he does to build demand, is he uses the resources around him. I mean, he basically lies to the bank to get a loan to invest. So he has the venue, right? Which for many could be Zoom, right? Like, where are you going to be hosting this? What kind of webinar or workshop? Maybe it's on Facebook, a private group, but like he has a venue. That's kind of the easy part. But then you got to create the demand, right? Building up to it. And so he literally had his family, his two daughters, his wife going around and with himself and trying to sell people with like in person, handing out flyers. And that was basically, I mean, maybe they put newspaper clippings in or like little ads in the newspaper, but that was seemingly it. And so there's, and I'm definitely preaching the choir for you because you know this so well. But like there's that demand, but then there's the aspect of like that first time that was a complete failure was his offer wasn't fitting right with the audience who was available to attend, right? Where he was trying to sell like to kind of like a wax museum, like dead things. And then what does his daughter say? She's like, "Hey, you need something that's live here." And that was like the light bulb that really ignited like a complete pivot. And so like as you mentioned early on, there's the ideas, right, of the offer to creating demand, but what, maybe inspired by The Greatest Showman or other aspects, like what are some key features you would say of a successful event?
Yeah, man. So it's funny you're describing like exactly what I tell people, walk people through. So it's yeah, so like I before we can even talk about getting people to show up, I like to think about those things. First of all, what is the event about? Who is it for? And what is their like prop? Like what is the event going to solve for them? How, if so, I like to tell people too, like let's think about it from this perspective. No matter what it is, people are starting over here and you're going to take them over here. So how can your event bridge that gap, right? And what are the elements that need to be in place? And so once you think about that, then you can think about the offer and how can, what is the problem? You know, what am I going to solve with this solution? So they get excited about showing up and saying yes. And then is there anything else that this solution is going to, a problem that this solution is going to cause for them? You know what I mean? Like, let's say I have a dishwasher, like I have dirty dishes, right? And somebody says, well, you need a dishwasher. Cool. I'm going to go to get a dishwasher. But now I have like all these other problems. Like, what kind of pucks do I buy? Like, what kind of settings do I use? How do I make sure it gets clean, right? There's these other issues that come up. And so when you solve something from somebody, a great offer describes a problem well, and it delivers and shows that you have the solution. And then it generates objections by also solving those follow-up problems. And so I walk people through that. And then after you do that, then we start taking that out. Like, just like you said with P.T. Barnum, like we have to know if people are going to buy this or not. So like, let's go test it out with real people and say, here, I got this event. So like I suggest that people go first to their like ideal market, right? Because the first virtual event I threw, I was just trying to throw it out to everybody and nobody was buying. It was a $97 event. And then I took it to my ideal client and I started selling them, right? And I'm not talking about with Facebook ads. I'm talking about in groups, things like that, free stuff. Maybe even individuals. Like if you have an idea of somebody who might attend this event, message them and be like, here's what I'm thinking. Here's how it's going to be. What do you think? You want to go? And if they say yes, then you're onto something. And if not, maybe it's time to go back to the drawing board, right? So that's kind of where I start. But then, you know, it's equal parts like creating a great offer and being able to deliver on it. Because I know that you know this, being in this marketing world, like there's a lot of people who can create really great offers and that can sell really well. But then being able to actually deliver it, like that's crazy important. Yeah, because you don't want to just do it once and then flop, right? I think that people, I encourage people to make something that's going to be repeatable, something that's going to, they can use in their business, something that's going to grow their business, things like that.
And it's powerful to really consider each step, right? And I think I believe it can be overwhelming and frustrating especially if you're just starting out, trying to figure out like how do all these pieces fit together. I mean,
yeah.
Granted, even, you know, based once again on the movie, not the maybe actual history, but based on the movie, P.T. Barnum didn't really know how all the pieces would fit together. But
yeah.
There's that showman aspect too, where it's like, you know, I feel like one incredible thing is he was able to stand out very quickly. And he was very unique through the process. So, I mean,
yes.
How would you say, I mean, you're sharing some really like gold and good stuff here. I'm curious to hear like how can people stand out and be unique? Because at the end of the day, there are so many, especially now, there are so many virtual events going on. Just another, there, it feels like there's just another business event or just another marketing event. How do you stand out?
I think there's something to be said for having your own proprietary, and when I say proprietary, I just mean to you. You don't have to get it trademarked or anything before you start, because I think people get caught up on that kind of stuff of like, I need to get, no. Let's just figure out what your idea is and see if it's going to work, and then you can worry about that stuff. But what I mean is there's something to be said for that of like, I'm going to create my own proprietary framework that's mine, that I can call mine, that I can teach on a whim, that you can lean on, right? So that's one thing, like to stand out and make yourself different. But dude, I'm just a firm believer, just like I was saying, like Russell's on stage, he's talking to these 4,000 people and everybody's listening to him and taking in, and he's impacting their life. Like even if they know everything he's saying, because I've heard everything Russell's ever said. So like, I don't need to know any more of that, right? But because I sat there with an open mind and listened to whoever's on stage, I was impacted. And I encourage people to do that all the time, to like, and I'll tell a story about that in a second, but those other people in the crowd, the 4,000 people, I just see them as different. I just see them as different personalities that can attract different people and help in different ways and tell different stories. Like how many times have you, had you heard about something? Like, can you think of anything that you've heard 1,000 times? And then one time somebody told a story about it, and you're like, oh, what?
Yeah.
Right. And so I think there's something to be said for that. And so what that looks like, I think, is just to start standing up on your virtual stage. Like I encourage people to do that of like, I'm going to go on Facebook Live. It's uncomfortable. I'm going to go on Facebook Live. I'm going to talk about something, or I'm going to start a podcast, or I'm going to start being on podcasts or whatever it is, and just start telling your story. And if you can do that, you're the only one who has that story. That's one. And then if you have the proprietary framework that you can put your stuff in, then that helps even more. And people start to remember that. And then you're your own thing. Right. And that's a long haul. A faster way to do it is to, you know, come up with a cool hook for an event and run Facebook ads to it and see if people show up. Right.
Yeah.
I think it's a both and situation though.
Oh, for sure. Well, and I think one thing that's interesting too is the concept, one of the first ones you said in that last segment was this idea that you got to have repeatable messages in place. I'm a big believer in this. And I mean, how many times have we heard the same like topic, like maybe something as simple, but yet it's pretty big topic is like build a marketing plan or marketing or storytelling. And we hear those terms and key phrases all the time, but I would say we receive different like creative inspiration based on the timeliness of that message and what we need in the moment. And so like there could be a time that, let's say we're learning about how to tell a good story. And we're like, oh, here it goes again. So we blank out, but maybe we're like, here listening to this presentation at a virtual event or in any kind of presentation, right? And it's how to tell a good story, yet we're in this mode of being like, I've been really struggling to tell my story lately. Like we're relevant to our pain. And so hearing that presentation is timely. And so on both ends, right? As a participant to the message, but as the message giver, particularly those who are right hosting virtual stages, I believe there's so much importance with creating repeatable messages, even stuff that you can almost memorize, right? Whether it's a mix of your brand story, some key messages that you're able to share again and again, so people can hear it multiple times before it will stick, before they'll listen. And so and think of it like, gotta love to bring it up, but like politicians, right? Love them or hate them, you gotta respect the campaign approach they take to how they do things to get attention. And a lot of times they come up with slogans or repeatable phrases, or it's like, now it's like, a drama show happening all across the media, mix of propaganda, a mix of like well-done messaging, a mix of truth and falsehoods. But at the end of the day, like recognizing that those who are most effective, whether it's a politician, a business leader, can be most successful when they have a message that resonate with people that they can repeat and just ingrain in your mind. Like you kind of have it imprinted and memorized in your mind again and again. And I believe like virtual stages of any kind, as you believe, is really essential for doing that. Like if you're not doing that, then you don't have the intention you need to grow your business.
Yeah, man. You're exactly right. And it's all about being, like you said, being, I love that, of like having repeatable stories that you can go, it's going to help people connect with you. It's going to help you like communicate your ideas. Like people don't really, they need that. Like that's why stories, like, that's why the work you do is so important. Like it's all about having these stories that are repeatable, that people can latch onto, because it does something to your brain, right? It makes you listen, and people need that to get out of their own way. It's not like, I think people sometimes feel like it's manipulative or something, to sell to people or whatever, but using stories to do that makes people listen. And that's good, because they need it. If they want this result, they have to get out of their own way, and nobody's going to do that on their own. Right. Well, it takes longer time, but if your job can come along and like help them form this belief or rearrange this belief to benefit them, that's a like a noble thing to do. And you're so, dude, I was listening to a podcast the other day with a politician, and they, every question they would ask, it's almost like the interviewer was asking these really like pointed questions that were very specific. And it's like they would listen for trigger words in the question and respond with the pre-rolled story, right? And I was like, That's so frustrating, but also it's so consistent that you have, like you said, you have to respect it. Like there's zero deviance from message. And the lesson that you can take away from that as a business owner is just that, of like having these consistent things to keep the message thriving and churning forward. It's like Russell with the potato gun story. Like I don't want to hear it anymore, but he doesn't want to hear it anymore, but like it's still helping people, right? So that's why you keep doing it.
Yeah. Well, and at the end of the day, there's only so much in our toolkit that we can deliver, right? Like we can't have unlimited sources of knowledge and words, and we shouldn't deliver that, because then it can just overwhelm people. It's like a fire hose of information, and you're just trying to soak it all up, right? And so having a consistent and simplified, like kind of your toolkit of messages that you can reuse. And it's, I've got to admit something too. So, I've adjusted this show lately, Visionaries, that we're doing, and, the fact that I'm doing it live and I don't have, all of my key phrases or messages memorized. I literally, with this camera, I literally have my teleprompter set up and I read off, maybe people could tell cause eyes are scanning, but I literally read off that little intro segment, cause I want to make sure it's repeatable. Eventually I'll get it memorized, and that way it's ingrained and expected when people, join the show. And it's something that connects to my personal values and vision, but also that of my business and how we are helping with messaging. And so, I've got no shame in reading off a teleprompter, because sometimes that helps with brevity. When you go live, and I think this is the issue many people have, be that in a webinar, virtual event, stage, that if you're not rehearsed and basically have a presentation memorized, or if you don't have slides and you literally like, oh, I want to go live and talk about this topic, you tend to ramble. I don't think anyone's perfect with not rambling, unless they have practice. Even comedians who have like sets They've practiced the material so many times that, yeah, they can read and play off the audience, but they're so good at like, hey, I'm going to go to this segment and this segment. And they also repeat throughout many different shows the same jokes and things that hit. And so I think it's important to have consistency and like a script in your mind, even if you have to read it word for word for a little bit.
100%, man. My first webinar that I did, I forgot to turn off my little window in the Zoom room, and I was literally like, I was doing slides and literally had my phone in front of me and was just clicking through. And somebody commented, hey, I think you should get a teleprompter. And I was like, damn it. I mean, you're exactly right. But like, honestly, it didn't matter because I was delivering exactly what I wanted to say. And I had no shame in that because I had specific things I wanted to hit and I didn't want to miss those. Just like you said. So I feel like it's important to keep that in mind.
Yeah, for sure. So what would you say for people who are working on building their first or next virtual stage? What are three easy steps someone can take to get started on that path?
Yeah. I like to tell people in that order of like, let's think about what the result is that they're going to get, because result-based events sell. And so if you can think about what the result is, so what they're going to walk away with, that's step one. And then organizing your event in there that you can do there. You can take it or leave it right now, but you can use your content to lead them to that, just like a story, right? Like, how can I use the frame of a story to lead them from A to B? And that's what I teach people to do. But then creating a killer offer that's going to solve the problem. And then at that point, you can start marketing it. Like, not selling the event necessarily. What I teach people to do, especially if you don't have any a following, is to say, hey guys, this show is this event is coming up. Here's what it's going to be about. Here's the details of it. Here's who it's for. Whatever. You put up a landing page. Start sending people to it and say, all right, we can't buy tickets yet, but here, join the early access list. Right. And this is that demand hacking part. So if you don't have a following or anything, this could be great for you. If you have a following, it's totally different. We can talk about that. But you're getting people onto your list. But then the magic happens on the back end of that, where you're constantly communicating with them, maybe asking them questions. You're sending them valuable content. You're getting them excited about the event. And then when you open the tickets up, you sell to those people first. So then the idea is to generate some built-in demand and scarcity, because now you're going to go to the public and say, hey guys, tickets are selling because I just sold some to this list back here. So tickets are selling. So you may want to go ahead and jump on this. And so at that point, people, like, I tell the story of, like, I was in Paris one time, and we were walking down the street, and it was the day before Halloween, and there was a giant line of people wrapped around this building for a costume show. And my wife looked at me and she's like, have you read that article about lines? And I was like, no. She's like, there's this psychology of like waiting in line. And there's this whole like subset of people who just jump in lines just because there's a line. And it's just because they want to know what's happening. Ooh, something must be going on here. Let me go ahead and get in line. So they get in line, they start asking people questions and things like that. It happens all the time.
Yeah. You see crowds and you're like, what's happening over there? Yeah.
Exactly. So you'll be a part of it. And that's what we're trying to hack, is that bone in people of like, if that is kind of proof that this event is going to be real, it's going to happen. Like if you filled some to this early access list and then you take it to the public and say tickets are selling, then people are more likely to pull the trigger. So, and then you just market it. And like, I think, so that's like the demand hack part. And I find that, like I said, it's two parts, right? Being able to create the result-based event that people are going to be excited about and being able to speak about that well, and then being able to deliver it well. And so I think if you put too much, like if you're brand new and this is your first event, like I'm talking to somebody right now who's in my program who is throwing a podcasting event, or like podcasting 101. And so he knows all the tech stuff, and my program teaches people how to market it, right? So he is in that process right now, but I was just talking about that with him last night. Like, he doesn't know, nobody knows him, but like, podcasting is so like hot. Like, if you can just say, here's what I'm going to teach you in this, right? People are going to show up. And I think that's the biggest thing of like creating that result based offer, and then being able to deliver on it. And if you're brand new and it's just like 10 people show up, that's great, because now you can get testimonials. You can really show up for those people. You can get testimonials. Then you go market again. You have even more. And it just starts to build on itself. Does that make sense? That's what I recommend to people.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that plan. I love that process. And I believe it really distills it down, right? To like feel like, oh, okay, it is possible. And you know, you say demand hacking. I think there's success hacking too, right? Like, yeah, if you've done a successful event, why not follow someone who's done that as well, right? And I think that's why what you're up to is so impactful, especially now. It's so relevant. And I believe with so many businesses turning virtual, this idea of a virtual experience is just only going to explode further. There's still going to be, you know, eventually there's going to be more and more in-person events again, but the virtual experience is going to be even more improved. Think about like Zoom, right? The video conferencing app. How much business have they gotten over the last 6 months? Insane amount of business, new business.
Yeah.
And how much so use it anymore? What was that?
I said so much so that we can't use it anymore.
It's like it's overwhelming their system. But that's demand, right? So like, how can you demand hack that in a way that's like, oh, not necessarily you have to build a software, but you can build a product around anything inside your business, you know, present that, and hopefully it doesn't take a pandemic for that to be, create demand. However, there are plenty of ways to do that. And I even love like going back to like, I love this concept of demand hacking. And one thing that I'm working on implementing more into the marketing side of my strategies and my products is reverse engineering effective marketing campaigns behind movies. Movies are a powerful product that are sold, like a show, you know, would be. And I'm a huge movie lover. And I think the process is fascinating, the campaign that's built around it. And so that's something that I'm going to be doing and showing behind the scenes more in the future. It is this idea of like, how can you build demand? And some movies, even if their story is not that great, it can still be successful at the box office if the demand and the curiosity and the marketing is done right in the front end.
Totally, man. I totally. Like, it's all about the. It's all the same stuff. And something I forgot to mention.
Yeah, let's hear it.
That goes into that. I'm all about like complicating it. Like most people, and this, I think people get overwhelmed with how do I get people to show up and what does the tech look like. One of the things that I like to get out of the way with people is the tech stuff of like, tell me about your event. And then I will prescribe like a tech stack for you. Like, but it doesn't have to be complicated. And to go along with that though, when you're delivering the event, it also doesn't have to be complicated. Like I remember I said how like you follow the arc of a story and like lead people from point A to point B to get the result. Well, what I teach people to do is something called the minimum viable event. So it's like you come in, you teach the content, and then I like to do like a workshop on the back end of it where I actually help them do that. So if we're talking about a paid event and you have something that you help people with or like some sort of course or whatever, you could teach a part of that or the whole thing over a whole day. And then on the back end of it, like actually help people. Questions and you're just answering questions for people. Like it's not that tough, right? You just answer their questions, they get on with you. And it does two things. It helps people stay because of the story thing and because they're waiting to get their chance to ask a question. It helps people stay on. And then it doesn't take as much effort for you because you know your stuff. And if you map it out like that, it's super simple to just teach it. And then you can just answer questions. I mean, and that's incredibly valuable for people. You're going to get great testimonials and you're going to like, you could use it to build a course. You could use it to start a podcast. You could use it to, I don't know, sell a new program. Like there's all kinds of stuff you could do. So that's the other piece of it is like keeping that part crazy simple too. Cause you don't need 8 live stream cameras like Tony Robbins to have a crazy good event, right? You gotta, like people are going to Tony Robbins event because he's Tony Robbins, right? And like we're doing something different. We're reimagining what that can look like, you know.
That's so powerful. Well, Chris, this has been so good. I'm like, you've shared so much good wisdom and knowledge. Where can people learn about launching their next live event in virtual stage?
Yeah, man. So I'm actually doing a weekly webinar right now. I don't know when I will cut that off. But if you want to check that out, you can go to soldoutsecrets.com/event. And I actually teach like the top three things that I learned. I call them theater hacks that are basically the stuff I outline, but I go into detail very heavily, especially marketing plan. So yeah, I think that would be a great place to start. So soldoutsecrets.com/event. And other than that, they can follow me. Instagram at Chris Freed and all that stuff. I put more stories than anything else. So.
Awesome. So good. Hey, thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. Yeah, we should do it again sometime, bro.
Thanks so much for listening. Once again, if you would like to learn more about how you can use your unique message and share it with the world through video and create videos that actually are professional and perform, bring you money, and all of the results and influence that you want to make, then I invite you to learn more by going to contentsupply.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you very soon.